Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. This can be found on page 28 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you never know neither the day nor the hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've all been to weddings, haven't we? We've all seen that magic moment when the bride stands at the head of the aisle, ready to come down to meet the groom. I think every bride looks beautiful and radiant at that time, don't you? Now think for a minute. Can you imagine a story about a wedding that doesn't even mention the bride? Well, that's exactly the story you heard just a few minutes ago. The story of the wise and foolish bridesmaids reflects the wedding customs of that time. Weddings were basically arranged by the family, and the arrangement the engagement that arranged the wedding was decisive. It could only be broken by a divorce. After the engagement period, the wedding date was set. The groom and his party went to the house of the bride, where the wedding took place, and after that, there was a procession to the house of the groom, where a feast was held that could go on for a long time. Those processions were usually at night, when torches or lamps made for a festive, spectacular display. In the wedding that Jesus described, the bride had 10 bridesmaids. They all had torches or lamps for the procession for the feast that would follow. 5 of them were foolish. They didn't take any extra oil for their lamps. The other 5 were wise. They took a flask of oil. The groom didn't arrive till midnight. That sounds strange to us, but nevertheless, naturally, the girls got drowsy as they waited and they slept. Finally, there was a shout that the groom and his party were arriving. The girls all woke up and trimmed their lamps. At that point, the foolish bridesmaid realized that their lamps were sputtering. They were running out of oil. So they asked the others for some oil, but they wisely replied that they didn't have enough to spare. If they shared their oil, all their lamps would go out during the procession, and that would be deplorable. So they told them to go and find someone who would sell them oil. Not an easy task at midnight. When they were gone, the groom arrived. The wedding took place. The procession wended its way back to the groom's house where the feasting began. When they finally found oil, the bridesmaids came to the groom's house and knocked on the door. But the groom refused to recognize them and they were locked out of the feast. Now, we may think that that bridegroom was very harsh, that he might have let them in, but this is a story, and the action of the bridegroom, of the groom, is necessary to make the point. And the point is, keep awake, therefore, for you do know neither the day nor the hour. Now, this is a parable. That is, it's a story that upsets the common way of thinking. A story that presents a whole new perspective on life. This parable is clearly directed against the scribes and the Pharisees. Matthew places it after the triumphal entry, at the time when the opposition of the Jewish leaders to Jesus had been turned up several notches, and the arrest and conviction of, and crucifixion of Jesus were not very far away. In previous chapters, Matthew has recorded Jesus' denunciation of the scribes and Pharisees and has given us a series of woes that he speaks against them. This is all part of an anti-Pharisaical polemic that is characteristic of Mark's gospel. So, what is the point that Jesus is making? He is saying that God works in his own time and his own way, and if we are not alert, we can miss the blessing of sharing in God's work. God had begun a new work in Jesus. In Jesus, God had come into the world to proclaim and display God's redeeming love for all people. The ministry of Jesus had been marked by the loving power of God. In both word and deed, Jesus had displayed God's powerful love and had called people to receive God's new work. But the Jewish leaders would not accept Jesus as God's spokesperson. After all, he didn't have the right credentials. He didn't have any theological training. He wasn't one of them. And what's more, in his teaching and in his actions, he had shattered their beliefs and trampled on their rules. He accepted outcasts. He healed on the Sabbath. He proclaimed freedom and forgiveness to all who would receive it. He attacked the prestige of the Pharisees and the scribes as holy people. And in so doing, he really attacked their power, because the public support behind them was really the foundation of their power. And so they rejected him. And this parable is a warning that in rejecting Jesus, they were missing God's opportunity, God's new work. They were in danger of missing out on the wedding feast, the messianic banquet, the kingdom of God. And so this parable was a call to them to rethink their opposition to Jesus and to accept the new work that God was doing through him. But this story goes beyond Jesus and his time. It speaks to more than the scribes and the Pharisees. It's a story with universal application. It speaks to us too. And so the question is, what does it say to us? The key to the parable is found in the words that follow it. Jesus says, keep awake. Another way to put that is, be alert. God works in strange and wonderful ways, and we must be alert to the work of God in our world and in our time. But there's so many things that are happening in our world, aren't there? How can we know which are God's works? Well, I can't tell you in advance what God is going to do. If I could, you wouldn't have to be alert. But I can tell you this, what God does in our world and in our time will never contradict what God did in Jesus Christ. What God does in our world and in our time will never contradict what God did in Jesus Christ. God may do things in ways that were not done before. God often does that. God does new things. The way God worked in the past does not necessarily tell us how God will work in the present or in the future. But what God did in Jesus Christ is the standard by which anything new can be judged. For example, in Jesus Christ, God displayed his unconditional love for all people. So anyone who declares that we must do something in order to qualify for God's love is not speaking from God. Again, in Jesus Christ, God displayed love for all people. So God is not in anything which discriminates against anyone. In Jesus Christ, we see the way of selfless sacrifice. God is not in anything that is based on selfishness or greed. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God, the living Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the one standard by which we can judge all that is new to determine whether it is truly a work of God. So, be alert. Be ready to respond to God's presence and activity. Be ready to accept the opportunities that God gives us. This story may help us to recognize what that means. A great flood swept over a valley, and a man who lived there prayed earnestly that God would save him from the flood. When the water reached his house, a boat came by. "Climb in, we'll take you to safety." "Oh no, God will take care of me." Well, he continued to pray, and the water continued to climb. It covered the first floor of his house, and he took refuge in the second floor. Another boat came by. "Climb in and we'll take you to safety." "No, no, God will take care of me." Well, he continued to pray. The water continued to climb until he had to clamber under the roof. As he sat there, a helicopter came by, hovered over him, and lowered a rope and said, "Tie yourself. We'll haul you up." "No, no, no, don't bother. God will take care of me." Well, the water continued to climb, and the man was swept away and drowned. When he stood before God, he complained, "I prayed and I prayed that you would save me. Why didn't you?" God shrugged his shoulders and said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want?" How can we be ready to recognize the works of God in our time? How can we be alert? Well, I think the important place that oil plays in the parable may give us a clue. For oil is often a symbol of God's Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, God is with us. In fact, God is in us. And our ability to see and to accept God's work is a gift from God. It's not our spirituality or our wisdom or our goodness that enables us to see or respond. It is God's gift. But remember this: Jesus has assured us that God will give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks. If we are really seeking to understand what God is doing today, and if we use the ministry of our Savior as a guide to help us evaluate the new things that happen, then we may trust God to lead us in the way that God would have us go. So, people of St. Andrews, let us be alert. Let us avoid, like a plague, what had been called the seven last words of the church. We never did it that way before. Let's face the future with open hearts and open minds. Today we're facing a situation that none of us expected, that Jared would have to assume the entire ministerial responsibility for St. Andrews. Today the search committee is looking for a lead minister. From my perspective, the future is full of question marks. But that's okay. That's okay because God is still in charge, and God will lead us on into God's new plan for St. Andrews. With oil in our lamps, let's prepare to follow. Amen. We sing together number 626, Lord of All Power.